The title of this next class, you guys have handouts for the next one, right? Okay. Preventing infection in children's ministry. Kids are germ magnets. They just, you know, attach to these kids, and everywhere they go, you know, I pick up my son from school, and his hands are like, you know, his fingernails, and my wife tells him, don't play basketball because the balls are really dirty. I'm like, how can you tell a kid not to play basketball? That's just mean. He's like, but those balls are so dirty. We're like, it's like you're telling, you know, I mean, you can't. So, but he comes home and, you know, from using the basketballs, his fingernails are like dark with dirt. And, you know, every night she's like. But I became a germ freak when I went to nursing school. My eyes were open to all these different viruses and bacteria that are out there, and I understood why I got sick, and you know, and so it's been a goal of mine to pass out the word as far as, you know, how you can prevent these simple infections. But especially in children's ministry, there are specific things that that you can do to prevent infection. I'm thinking you can take a lot of these things and apply it to your own lives and see if you can, you know, do some of these things and just be aware so you can stay healthy. When's the last time you guys got sick? Like with a cold or? Never get sick. Last week. Anybody? Have you gotten sick? No? Well, the flu season's almost, you're always sick. Okay, so pay attention to this class. So if you always get sick, you want to pay attention to this class. There's a way you can prevent that stuff. Okay? So, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we just want to commit this time to you, Lord. And as we look into some of these things here, Lord, we just ask that you give us insights and help us to be wise, God, that there's things that we can do, Lord, to keep ourselves healthy and keep our kids healthy in children's ministry, that we can live a life that is bringing glory to your name, Lord. So just go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it or not, you know, the phrase cleanliness is next to godliness. It is not a biblical phrase. It's not in the Bible. Some people, I said this in my last class. They're like, no, that's a Bible verse. I said, no. I said, tell me where it is in the Bible. It's not a biblical verse. I did a little research, and I think the first person that used it was John Wesley. You know, the British preacher. And if you look up some Bible verses, you know, truly God desires cleanliness. There's one it's a funny verse. We can take it literally, but listen to this. Psalm 24, verse 4 to 5. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we can take that a little bit out of context, but I thought that was a little funny. So one out of three people don't wash their hands after using the bathroom. Okay? I hope none of you guys fall into that category, but that's kind of scary. One in three people don't wash their hands after using the bathroom. First and foremost, what is an infection? Infection is a disease state resulting from the invasion and growth of microbes in the body. So when you have an infection, that means your body is in a disease state. Okay, you're sick. What causes an infection? Infection is caused by different kinds of microbes invading and growing in the body. And some of the different types of microbes that you're aware of are, you know, bacteria, the virus, parasites, and some other stuff. Now, a microbe or a microorganism is a very, very small living organism that you cannot even see with your naked eye. It is so small that you need a microscope to be able to see it. And they are everywhere, okay? In your water bottles, on this table, the floor, your shoes, your hands, they are literally everywhere. There are some microbes that do not cause infections. There's other microbes that cause infection. There's other microbes that, if they're moved from their natural reservoir, It could cause infections. Did you know that you have E. coli in your intestines? You've heard of E. coli, right? Nobody? Yes. I think the last E. coli outbreak was with spinach, if I'm not mistaken. They recalled spinach because it was, you know, affected with E. coli. And so you're in your intestines, you know, there's E. coli there. It's their natural reservoir. But if it's moved to another site, you know, people get urinary tract infections a lot of times. And some, you know, it's because that E. coli being moved from its natural place to another site. Okay, so we have all these natural microbes in our body that belong there, but if they're moved from one site to another, it could also cause infections. Okay, so infections, they're caused by different kinds of microbes invading your body. Okay, either through your mouth, which is usually how it happens, through your nose, your eyes, any orifice of your body that is open. Okay, what are some common signs and symptoms of an infection? And you can all answer to this. Usually fevers, right? Chills, generalized weakness in your body. You just kind of feel weak and awful. Muscle aches, nausea, vomiting, cough, runny, stuffy nose, sore throat, rash, diarrhea. I'm pretty sure everybody had at some point in your life some of these symptoms. These are some of the signs and symptoms of infection. Now, what are some of the most common infections seen in children's ministry? First one, the common cold. It is the most common infectious disease in the U.S. Number one, it is caused by more than 100 different viruses that can infiltrate the protective lining of your nose and your throat. And the most common is called the rhinovirus. Rhino meaning refers to the nose and all that stuff. But you can catch it from person-to-person contact. If somebody has a cold, okay, and you just, you know, if you're in close contact with them, kissing them, maybe, you know, you have a little brother who has a cold and you're kissing him, or you come in contact with some of the things that, you know, he has, you could get it. You could also get it from breathing the virus particles that spread through the air by sneezing, coughing. Do you know that if you sneeze, that can travel up to 13 feet in the air? Yes, 13 feet. So if I sneezed up here and I was sick, and I went, ha-choo, you know, it could go, shh. And if you had your mouth open and you were like, ha-ha-ha, you know, you were laughing, it could literally enter into your body. And if I'm not sick, I'm it's just an example. If your immune system, if your immune level was very low, maybe you weren't getting enough sleep and you're tired and you're not eating right, and, you know, not getting enough exercise, chances are you're probably going to get sick. Okay, but if your immune system is strong and you're getting enough sleep, enough rest, eating good food, and you're getting the exercise, you're probably not going to get sick. Okay. But that's another way you can get a cold, by breathing in the virus particles that's in the air. Okay. So, you know, if you think about children's ministry, if you pick up a child and he sneezes in your face, you know, you might get it. Okay. Also, touching the mouth or the nose after touching the skin or the surface contaminated with the virus. Okay. So if a child has a cold and he's, you know, his nose is draining, and you grab a tissue and you, okay, blow your nose, and you blow his nose and stuff like that, and you throw the paper towel away, and with that same hand, maybe you eat a slice of pizza and you're just eating and you didn't wash your hands, chances are you're going to get sick. Okay, if a child sneezed at the desk, okay, and you touched it and you didn't know, and you don't wash your hands, and you eat or you touch your face or do something, chances are you're going to get sick. Okay, so breathing in particles, also touching and getting it inside your mouth or any opening in your body. So the common cold is contagious during the first 2 to 4 days after your symptoms appear. Okay, so if you think, if I had a cold today and I was coughing all over the place, and you go home today and you start getting sick, you're like, oh, Jason got me sick. doesn't really happen like that. You probably picked it up two or three days before from somewhere else. Okay, so it usually happens. It usually appears after you're exposed to it, like 2-3 days after you're exposed to it, you start getting sick. Maybe you're running a fever and you're like, "Oh, my throat hurts," and you're coughing. It doesn't happen right away. Okay. It could be contagious up to 3 weeks. Okay. So that's the most common one, the cold. Now, the difference between a virus and bacteria, they're both, you know, bad because they cause infections. A virus cannot be treated with antibiotics. Okay. Bacteria can easily be treated with antibiotics. Okay. A cold is caused by a virus. Okay, a lot of times you want to, when you get sick or something, you want to go to the doctor and get a prescription for antibiotics and start taking it. It's not going to cure anything. You know, the HIV virus, is there a cure for it? No. Doesn't matter what virus it is, there is no cure. A virus is self-limiting, where it means it has to take its course, and usually just it just dies by itself, like a cold virus. Okay, and so you can treat the symptoms, okay, but there's no cure for it. So there's no reason for you to go to the doctor and get all these antibiotics. It's not really doing you any good. You know, in our country, the antibiotics has been abused so much that right now we have all these, you know, different bugs that are coming up that are resistant to antibiotics. They call it the superbug. It's been around for years, but they just try to, I guess, scare people now. They call it the MRSA. You guys heard of that? It's been around in hospital for years. Ever since I've been a nurse, it's been around. But all of a sudden, you know, you watch the news and, oh, there's a superbug. You know, they're trying to scare people. But, you know, don't be so hasty to take antibiotics right away for a cold, because it's not going to do anything. It's just going to build tolerance to your body, so when you actually need it, it's not going to work. Okay? Your body builds like these antibodies and builds tolerance to any medicine you take, and when you really need it, it won't work because you've abused it so much. So that's the first one, the common cold, the flu. A lot of times people ask, well, what's the difference between a cold and a flu? You usually have similar symptoms, right? A flu is also caused by a virus, okay? It's called the influenza virus. It's similar to a cold, it's just more severe symptoms. You would really get sick. I've talked to some people who had the H1N1 virus, and they told me they really, really got sick, like 10 times what they usually felt with a regular flu, and they got really, really sick. So with a flu, it's just more severe symptoms. Usually have a similar, you know, symptoms that you have, the coughing and you get muscle, you know, soreness and weakness, fevers, sneezing, all those things. It usually happens between November to April, so we're almost closing the end of the flu season. Most cases happen during December to March. Now, the flu is contagious from a day before they feel sick. Okay, so if I'm infected with the flu virus, even if I'm not sick yet, I could be infectious. Okay, and until the symptoms resolve. And usually with the flu, you're sick a good week to 2 weeks, really, for you to really start feeling better. And so this is also a virus, so, you know, there's no antibiotics that will really cure it. You just have to treat the symptoms, okay? So if a child comes in and he has all these symptoms, you have to pay really, really close attention. We're going to talk about that later. The next one, as far as children ministry, infectious diarrhea. We call it the stomach flu, right? You have the runs. You eat something bad and, you know, you're in the bathroom all day. It could either be caused by a virus, bacteria, or parasites that enter your stomach. And how do they enter your stomach? Through your mouth, right? And it can usually cause diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, fevers, all those things. And so the number one way to get that is through contaminated food or water, undercooked chicken like Salmonella, E. coli. With the spinach, you know, what happens is, you know, these animals go to, you know, wherever the spinach is, and they do their thing. And, you know, they harvest the spinach, and maybe they don't wash it properly. And, you know, people eat it. It gets packaged, and people eat it. And that's where the E. coli comes into play. You know? So what happens to them is, you know, depending on the severity of that particular virus, they could get really, really sick. You know, diarrhea, dehydration, nausea, vomiting, all those things. Another way you can get is direct contact with the stool, just like I've explained to you, you know, with those spinach and with animals. But with kids, what can happen is, let's say, you know, the kid went to the bathroom and he has the stomach flu and he wiped himself and maybe he didn't wash his hands and he comes to class. And, you know, he touches things and you touch it and you get it into your mouth, there's a chance you could get it, okay? Or if a kid went into a bathroom and there was stool on the floor, I've seen stool on the floor in the bathroom, and he steps on it and he comes to class and you guys are playing on the floor and you're touching the floor and you don't wash your hands and you get it in your mouth, you could get sick, okay? I don't know about you guys. You know, the whole Asian custom thing is no shoes inside the house. You guys know that, right? And growing up, it's just the way, you know, you're raised. So you just automatically take your shoes off. After I went to nursing school, I found out, well, that's pretty smart why they take their shoes off. Because, you know, you walk around all day and you don't know what you're stepping on. Especially when I was working in hospitals, you know, we've had blood on the floor, urine, stool. And, you know, I was like, I don't want to take the same shoes inside the house. And, you know, if you have little kids crawling around in your carpet and you're taking it in your bedroom, and, you know, it's not that sanitary, you know. So to this day in our house, we don't wear shoes. Everything gets left at the door and we wear slippers inside our house. And so, you know, direct contact with a stool, you're like, well, I don't think I ever come direct in contact with a stool. But if you think about your shoes, you can easily come in contact with stool, you know. Even if people come to my house to, like, fix something, they have to wear either a shoe cover or ask them to take their shoes off, because, you know, it's just, I don't know where he was this morning. I don't know where he was the day before. I don't know what he stepped on. So direct contact with the stool, the second one. Dirty hands. Anything infectious, germs, come in contact with toys, changing table, doorknobs, etc. If, you know, somebody touched the stool and touched the doorknob or touched the toy and you touch it and that gets into your mouth, you could get sick. Okay, so it, really one of those three things: contaminated food or water, direct contact with stool, and dirty hands. Okay, anything the germs comes in contact with. Okay. Next one is hepatitis. You guys heard of hepatitis? I've had hepatitis B when I was little. I almost died. My body, everything turned yellow. Everything was yellow, and I almost died. I had hepatitis A when I was in high school, so I've had both hepatitis A, B, and C. And so my liver right now is really, really weak. Hepatitis is basically just the inflammation of the liver. Most common in children is hepatitis A. Hepatitis A is also caused by a virus, which lives in stools of infected people. So I don't even want to think how I got hepatitis A when I was in high school. I think I know why, but it's kind of disgusting. Oh, I can tell you, a couple of days ago, I was at a pool with my son. I was on one side, he was the other. We were throwing the ball around. And this the people in the pool kicked us out. And what's going on? Oh, she said, oh, the little girl had a little accident. So I was like, oh, okay. She had, like, number one? He goes, oh, and it's the other number. And I felt so sick because I was doing this in the water. You know, I was, you know, the water, you put it in your mouth and you spit it out. And the little toddler had a pull up and she was, you know, right behind me. And when she said no, the other number, my thing just went, yeah, so you guys want to be careful when you're in pools or the beach with little kids, when you see little kids around with pull-ups, just get out. The hepatitis A virus lives in stools, okay? So it's the stool-to-mouth way. If a chef in a restaurant had hepatitis A, okay, and he went to the bathroom and took care of business, didn't wash his hands, came back and prepared your salad, and he came out and you ate it, guess what? You're probably going to get it. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, that stool. It could be microscopic. Okay? So, you know, sometimes, you know, people go to the bathroom and, you know, clean themselves, and just because, you know, they don't see stool in their hands, maybe they don't wash their, I mean, you know, people should wash their hands, but, you know, you've seen people, I've seen, one time in my life, I saw I don't know if he's a cook, or but he dressed like, you know, those white chef coats. He was on a toilet, he flushed, he came out, he didn't wash, he just went out. And I was halfway done with my meal, and I was like, oh, I felt sick. And you see signs in the restaurants, please, employees, please wash your hands before you go out. And so, you know, you take your risk when you eat outside. But I've seen people in the restaurant just all the time just leave the bathroom without washing hands. And the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't have to be like visible physical stool. It could be microscopic. And you could still get sick. Okay? So this virus, it can be found in water, like in the pools, okay? Water you drink, if that water is contaminated. It could be found in food, okay? It could easily be found in diapers if, you know, a little kid had hepatitis A and you're changing the diaper. Doorknobs, hands, shoes, I mean, you could name it. It could be on it, okay? It's around us everywhere. I mean, I can just give you countless number of examples how it could get to you, but it's literally everywhere, okay? I know, like, in our nursery, the kids they bring the kids in, and they're in a counter. They stand in a counter, and we put a pin, and they get welcomed into the classroom. If that child was in the bathroom, and there was stool, like I said, it doesn't have to be visible. It could be microscopic. They stepped on it, and they step on your counter, and you put them in your classroom, and you touch it, and maybe after the service, there's a workshop, and there's pizza, you didn't wash your hands. I mean, okay? You could easily get it into you. Hepatitis B is a little different. It's caught, but it's also caused by a virus, hepatitis B virus. It is spread through infected body fluids, not through stool, but body fluids. Stuff like blood, saliva, urine, semen. People get it through contaminated needles. Just being exposed to, you know, the body fluids. Infected mothers can transfer it to their newborn babies. And so some of these signs and symptoms of hepatitis B actually is, you know, fever, muscle aches, diarrhea, jaundice, vomiting. Some people with hepatitis A, their symptoms are so mild that they don't even know they have it. They could be carriers of it, but their symptoms might be so mild that they think, I think I just have a stomach flu or something, and they don't even know they have the hepatitis virus in them. But the most common ones that you will see with kids is hepatitis A. And you can just see how easily it can be spread. The next one is strep throat. Anybody here had strep throat before? Never? Really, really painful, right? It's not the regular sore throat. It's literally, you feel like you're swallowing like needles. It's that painful, isn't it? So this is not the regular sore throat. It's much more severe. Strep throat is caused by a bacteria, Streptococcus bacteria. So this can be treated with antibiotics. And it's pretty similar in that it is spread by sneezing, coughing, even shaking hands. If somebody has strep throat and they're coughing like this, you know, on their hand, and they don't wash their hands, and they shake your hand, and you get it into your mouth, you might get it. Touching surfaces with the infected bacteria. If you use the same towel, my son had this a while back, and we gave him his own towel. Because if you can imagine, maybe you brush your teeth and you dry your mouth with a towel, and you go and dry your mouth with that same towel, you can get it. If you share the same cup, okay, the same spoon, whatever it is, you could get it, okay? So some of the symptoms, they'll have difficulty swallowing. It is so painful that they'll have difficulty swallowing. And if you look in their, you know, the back of her throat, it's going to be really red, irritated. You might see like white patches back there. Your tonsils, you guys know what tonsils is, right? The little thing that dangles back there, it'll be enlarged. They'll have headaches, just general discomfort. They'll just, you know, be sick, have a high fever. They're contagious until 24 hours after starting antibiotics. So if you're sick, you went to a doctor, you took antibiotics for a day, after that, you shouldn't be that infectious, but until then, you're very contagious. So if you know somebody who has strep throat, you shouldn't be sharing the same water bottles, same toothbrush. That's true. Yeah. But, you know, with, like, family, you do sometimes. You know, sometimes, you know, can I have a drink and you maybe use the same straw or something like that? But it's not a good idea. Oh, I'm sorry. Your question was, even if you're not sick, it's not a good idea to share water bottles and straws. Even amongst kids, definitely you don't want them sharing, you know, the same water bottles and the same straw and things like that. Definitely. And if, you know, strep throat is not treated, they could be contagious up to 3 weeks. So, I don't know why anybody would suffer for that long, but it is so painful that, you know, they can't even swallow. The last one that we can look at is infectious rash. you should be cautious if you notice rash with, you know, child that you're having in your classroom and they have fever, or if the rash has kind of blistered open and it's draining, okay? First and foremost, they shouldn't come into your room, okay? If you're the one that's taking kids in. A lot of the times, the kids that come in with rashes, the parents tell us, oh, you know, my son has this. We went to the doctor. It's nothing infectious. A lot of times it's just eczema, really dry skin that really, you know, their skin looks like it's scaling off and it looks like they have some kind of a rash, but it's just eczema. But it's rare that, you know, we find something and the parents intentionally put the kid in there and they know it's infectious. I've never really ran across that, but it could happen. Maybe he's developing some new rashes. The parents don't even know yet, and you just so happen to see it. What you want to do is, if you don't know what it is, and if you feel that they have a fever, and you know, you see that they're scratching all the time, and you look and it's all over their body, their trunk and their back, you might want to isolate them right away, okay, before they get exposed to all these other people, okay? And we're going to talk about more of that later on. But, you know, usually it's nothing infectious, okay? Or the parents will let you know. So what are some practical ways to prevent the spread of infections? I want to start by saying that, you know, as we're in the ministry, God is able to protect us and keep us, you know, healthy and safe. But at the same time, there's a lot of common sense things that, you know, God gave us common sense, stuff that we can do to prevent the spread of infection. First and foremost is guarding your classroom. I can't stress enough the importance of the teacher in charge that's taking kids in, especially the younger ones, okay? You're in control of who comes into your classroom. You don't want to just stand afar off and just let kids come in. You want to be right there to welcome the kids in, and you just, you know, looking at them. You can usually see kids that are sick. You can tell just by their looking, okay? And if the parents give you a hint, like, oh, Billy has not been feeling well, then maybe you want to ask a question. Okay, well, you know, has he been throwing up, or has he had a fever, or, you know, have you seen a doctor, or anything like that? If the mom tells you, you know, he's just had maybe little low-grade fevers, he's coughing and stuff like that. Or she might just tell you, oh, we went to go see the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, he's taking medicine, he's okay, he's going to be fine. So, you know, you want to decide, you know, maybe we should not let Billy in today. Maybe it's best if, you know, this kid went with you to the fellowship hall today. If you think he's coming down with a cold or something, just to keep him, you know, away from the other kids so other kids don't get sick. And, you know, most parents should be understanding of that. You know, okay. But it's so important that if you're the teacher in charge of that classroom, that you're, you know, looking at these kids. Now, if you see any kids with nose, you know, with nasal drainage, anything that's green or yellow or anything like that, you should probably tell your parent, you know, it's probably best that he doesn't come into class today. If it's clear, that's probably okay. Okay? Sometimes, you know, your nose is draining. If it's clear, that probably means, you know, it's nothing that's causing infection. But if you can tell, you know, he's crying and stuff and it's light yellowish, greenish and stuff like that, you might want to keep that child out of your room for that day, okay? And you want to probably explain why. You can even probably get your coordinator involved or your pastor involved. But it's probably best if that child stayed out of that class that day. Or if he's really warm and is really irritable, okay? You might want to ask the parent, you know, is he having a fever? You know, he doesn't look like he's feeling well, you know? If you think maybe you can handle that kid, you know, make sure you take them in. But this is where your sign-in sheet, most churches should have sign-in sheets where when kids come in, you have them sign, you have the parent sign in the kid. You have the parent put their name and the phone number where we can reach them in case something happens, you know, during the service. Maybe they can leave the phone and vibrate. Or if your church has a particular way of contacting, you know, some churches have numbers where, you know, a child is assigned a number and it will blink. And so you have, if a child is sick, at least you have some form of notifying the parent, you know, he's throwing up, he's having diarrhea or whatever, you need to please come and get your child, okay? So that's where I think the sign-in sheet comes into play, where you tell your parent, well, you know, we'll take him in for now, but, you know, if he starts feeling worse, we'll call you, or we'll notify you right away so you can come and pick him up, okay? Sometimes in our church, you know, that's not done, and we try to call the parent, and obviously the phone is off, and so we have no way of contacting the parent. So sometimes we'll go into the video room, because we have videos in each, like walls, and we'll look for the parent. We'll take the teacher, and sometimes it's hard. Like, you're looking at a huge sanctuary, and you don't know where they're sitting, and the teacher goes, I think I remember what she looks like. It could take a long time. You're looking at each pew, looking for the parent. And so the best way is to have a form of communication where you can contact the parent right away. Okay? If your church has a system with a number, that's great. If you don't, you know, ask them, you know, maybe you can leave your phone at vibrate, we'll call you. Or you ask them to come check maybe in about 30 minutes, an hour, see how he's doing, if he's feeling better. If not, you know, she might have to take him and just go home for that day for whatever reason, okay? And, you know, most places, most churches have, you know, nurses that come. So if you can identify one or two of them and know who they are, so if they need some kind of attention, at least, you know who to go to, you know? But, you know, I can't stress enough the importance of the person that's taking in the kids, okay? Making sure, you know, you're guarding your classroom from anything. If the child is sick, you want to keep them out, okay? The next one is proper hand washing. I ask this to my nursing students all the time. What is the most effective method of preventing infection? If I was to give you a choice between hand washing and wearing gloves, what do you think is the better answer? Hand washing? What about gloves? No? You still touch things, yeah. You can wear all the gloves you want, right? But if you don't wash your hands, what good could that be? And so most infections in the hospitals are caused by nurses going from room to room without washing hands. So they could come in for pneumonia and end up with another infection because the nurses don't wash hands. They go from one patient. Maybe this patient had an infection and they do things, maybe even with gloves on, and they go to another patient without washing their hands. That's how infections are spread. And so proper hand washing is key. When should you wash your hands? In children's ministry, let's think about you as a Sunday school teacher. You have a little kindergarten class. When should you wash your hands? Before class? Between class? Interacting with the kids, yes? Before snack time, very important. Before you're handling their food, you know, you might have touched some things. Maybe you're transferring something from there to the food. So you definitely want to keep that in mind. If before you're handling snacks, very good, you want to wash your hands. How about after wiping the kid's nose or something, right? You want to wash your hands then. But the most important thing I could tell you is after class, before you go, like, eat your lunch, okay? Before you eat anything, really, you should wash your hands. You know, I tell that to my son all the time. Wash your hands before you eat because, you know, he's, you know, those kids, their hands get really, really dirty, you know? How about the kids' hands? Snack time, right? Before they eat their snack, you want to... It's kind of hard to go around and have all the kids wash their hands. Just going to say that next. Hand sanitizer, it comes in handy. Doesn't take a long time. It's supposed to kill, it says, 99.9% of germs, it says. So it's a great tool to have in the class. Those hand sanitizers, they work great. So if you can have that in class, even hand wipes you can use. I would definitely clean their hands before snack time. Just a good idea. After using the bathroom, if your kids are going to the bathroom, you want to make sure they wash their hands, right? So I don't want to make you guys like, you know, germ freaks where after you touch the kid, oh, I got to go wash my hands. Go wash your hands and come back. You're going to be washing your hands all service. That's not really what I'm saying. But, you know, when you come in contact with like body fluids and just visible dirty stuff, especially if you're going to handle food or stuff like that, you want to wash your hands. Before you touch, you know, your mouth or your face or anything, before you eat, you want to wash your hands, okay? And if you can't get to a sink right away, have a hand sanitizer, okay? I think those are really awesome to have in the classrooms. Now, when you wash your hands, how long should you wash your hands? 20 seconds, that's reasonable. What's the minimum you think the time you should spend in the sink? You say 20. It says 20 seconds. Really? Some people told me 2 minutes. I'm like, literally, when's the last time you washed your hands for 2 minutes? You'd be killing all the bacteria in your hand. Minimum, 15 seconds is more than enough. Okay, if you get good friction going, you know, you want to get your hands wet. I can't believe I'm teaching you guys how to wash hands, but I'm going to tell you. You want to get your hands wet first, okay? Get enough soap. You want to lather up really, really good. It's the friction that kills back, that kills these germs. It's not the water, it's not the soap, it's the friction, okay? And you want to get it between your fingernails. I see what you're doing. Very good. You want to get, you know, inside your fingernails too, your wrists, okay? And you want to rinse them off, okay? Now, after you wash your hands, if your towel dispenser has a knob, okay, and you touch that knob with your clean hands, do you think there is a chance that your hands just got dirty again? Because you don't know who came in and who touched that knob. Somebody could have sneezed on it, even the knob for the sink, you know. So most places now are hands-free, which I love, you know. So you can just wash your hands. Even the water and soap, they're all hands-free. You don't have to touch anything. You just wash your hands and just wave and the towel comes out. Those things are awesome. But if it's one of those ones where you have to push down, you might want to dispense your towel first and then wash your hands. Or you can use your elbow. Good. You can do that. But the best way is to dispense your towel first, wash your hands, and then just grab your paper towel, okay? And with that paper towel, you can turn your water off if you need to. With that paper towel, if you need to get more paper towel, you can do that. How about the doorknob right before you go out? You think that's clean? Could be dirty because, you know, the person before you might have done something and didn't wash his hands, and everything could be in the doorknob. Yeah, could be really dirty. You never touch him? Sometimes I do this. Sometimes, yeah. Some places you can push, you know, with your door. And so, if it's one of those doors where you have to open, I would use a paper towel or, you know, whatever you got to use. But you know, improvise your foot. Do you know? You can get creative. Okay, because you can do the perfect hand washing, but if you're touching that doorknob with your bare hands, you're opening up yourself for whatever bacteria is on there. And then you go back outside and you continue eating. Yeah, not good. When I was in Korea, was it a year ago? 2 years ago. Went to go visit, you know, family and stuff. Some of their public bathrooms had towels, like literal towels that kind of rotated around. I almost passed out. I was like, whoa. You know, I was like, how could people use that? It's, you know, it was literal towels that just kind of went around. And, you know, the perfect area for bacteria to grow is wet, dark areas. And it was perfect. And they didn't even have soap. They had bar soaps. And so I was like, ah. I carried a hand sanitizer everywhere I went. Yeah, so hand washing is the number one thing that you can do to prevent the spread of infections. Okay, let me wrap this up. So you also want to teach your kids how to cough and sneeze. And what is the best way to cough? You can do this, right? But you're probably better off doing this. Because if you do this, guess what they're going to touch right after they sneeze? Probably something else, or you, or something like that. So, this, okay? Or tell them to cover their mouth regardless, and you can just have them wash their hands, okay? Little kids, some of them, they don't know how to cough. They'll just start coughing right in your face. You're like, whoa! Like, you have to cover your mouth, and maybe nobody's taught them that before. Or they sneeze, you know, right? You know, you're carrying them, and they're like, not a cool feeling, right? So hand washing is the key. Disinfecting and sanitizing, you can do that to your classrooms. You can disinfect by using chemicals like bleach. I love using those Clorox wipes. You guys seen those? I love that. I love that stuff. Sanitizing means just basic cleanliness, you know, washing hands and stuff like that. I would encourage you guys to disinfect your your desks before class, if that's doable. I think that would go a long way in keeping kids healthy. Having a supply of, Clorox wipes in your office, and just wiping things down before class. That's a really good idea. Having bleach solutions for little kids that use toys. You can buy commercially made ones that you just spray, but you can make your own by mixing, bleach and water, one part bleach, 10 part water, and you can just use that to spray your toys down after service and rinse them out. A lot of the kids have floor times that, still bothers me for obvious reasons. But, they can have floor time as long as they wash their hands before snack time. I think those things are very important. And I can't stress enough also the hand sanitizers. Those work really well. Now, what do I do if I have a sick child in my room? You want to identify that sick child and you want to isolate him. Maybe leave him in the office if you can't find a parent, but you want to identify who that person is and you want to isolate him. Okay? You don't want to leave him. Like if he has chicken pox and you know it's chicken pox, you don't want to continue to just leave that kid in the classroom. Okay? You're just opening yourself up for more exposure. You want to isolate right away. Okay? You definitely want to follow your church's protocol. You want to notify the parent right away. Okay? Once again, the importance of the sign-in sheet. What do I do now that my kids got me sick? You know, on Sunday, Billy was really sick. He was coughing and sneezing. And by Tuesday, Wednesday, you're like getting a sore throat and you're like, oh, I'm getting sick. Pray, okay? You just want to get plenty of rest, drink a lot of fluids. You want to seek the proper medical attention, advice, if you need to go see a doctor or something. Remember what I told you about the medicines and the antibiotics. Usually you can just, treat the symptoms. It should go away. People like to take vitamin C tablets. There's a new thing called Emergen-C, something like that. I guess, people like to take it when they think, oh, I think I'm getting sick, so I'm going to eat some oranges and stuff like that. It's not proven. Science cannot prove that vitamin C actually helps you prevent, a cold. But it helps your immune system. That's where it comes into play. You guys heard about eating chicken soup? That actually works. Chicken soup has a protein in it that thins the mucus. Like if you're really congested, it's called cysteine. That stuff actually works. The chicken soup. Okay. So you just want to get plenty of rest. And if you're still sick, maybe you shouldn't volunteer or teach that particular Sunday because you don't want to get all your kids sick too, right? What are some essential items to have in my class to prevent the spread of infections? You want to have access to a sink, obviously. Soap, paper towels, most classrooms don't have this. And that's where the hand sanitizer comes, I think, in really, really handy. But if you have the sink right there available for you in classroom, that's perfect. Hand wipes can also work. Clorox wipes is good to have to clean stuff. Bleach solutions. This is important that if you have something like this, you want to store it in a safe area away from the reach of little kids. You don't want them getting a hold of it and spraying each other. You also want to have access to gloves. If you don't have gloves, one of those plastic, they call it, to handle food. You've seen those things? You want to have access to those in case you come in contact with any body fluids or anything like that, okay? But, you want to stay healthy, getting enough rest, eating right, getting enough exercise. Those things will help boost your immune system and keep you healthy. And, if you're healthy, you can keep the kids healthy, okay? So, hand washing for you guys, very, very important. You guys that get sick a lot, if you're around sick people, I don't care how much you love them, keep your distance. My son, when he gets sick, he's, don't hug me, don't kiss me. Like, Daddy, I want to kiss you. Like, no, don't kiss me. You want to stay away from sick people. Okay? You want to keep your distance and head washing. Okay? Any questions? I think I went over a little bit, but. Yes. Oh, yes, for this class. I didn't give you my name. I did it in the other class. My name is Jason Kang, Calvary Chapel of Downey. And if you had any questions, you can email me at jasek4@gmail.com. Okay? So you guys don't have any questions? Okay? Stay healthy. Stay on fire for the Lord. Serve the Lord. And it's been an honor, privilege for me to come here today. So let's pray and end. Heavenly Father, I just thank you once again for the opportunity you've given me, God, a sinner saved by grace, someone unworthy. But by your grace, Lord, you've allowed me to come here and to spend time with these precious people here, Father. I just thank you for giving me an opportunity. And thank you, God, for everything that you've shown us today. And help us, Lord, to be wise and not to just hearing these things and to just go in our separate ways and forget them, but help us, Lord, to be wise and to apply these things, Lord, that we can be all that we can be for you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to just continue, Father God, to find ways, Lord, to serve you, and give us, Lord, that hunger and a fire and a desire, Lord, to continue to learn your word and to share that, Lord, to a lost world out there. But I just pray, God, that for these people here, that you will continue to equip them, Lord, for whatever it is that you have in front of them, that they will be able to leave this place, Lord, leave this Bible college equipped and ready to go out into the world and to serve you, God. So I just ask that you just go before them, Lord. And thank you, Father, for this opportunity once again. In Jesus' name, amen.